Barb is one of our longest-serving volunteer. She's been a volunteer with us for 24 years, so a lot longer than I've been with Cornerstone, and she's just receiving a certificate there and a bunch of flowers from our local MP. Oh, sorry, I'll just go back a little bit there. I've skimmed through. We have what we call community volunteers. So there are people who start off as part of the meals community, and they really love it. And they want to get involved. They want to be more of a part of the community. And so they join our volunteer team. You can see David on the left there. He actually came to us and he was fresh out of prison. He'd been in prison for a few years and he wound up in prison because of a string of events. He's given me permission to share his story that were sort of drug-related offences. And he just loved the community and really wanted to get involved. So he became one of our volunteers, and he would arrive at 7 in the morning to set up for one of the breakfast programs, be setting up the tables and setting up the chairs. And he would be the last person to leave, after helping to pack everything up at the end of the day. And he, about a year and a half ago, got a full-time job. And is doing really, really well. He still comes along on Sunday evenings to the Nourish service. So I'll share a little bit more with you about Nourish shortly. But it's lovely to have that space where people from the community can get involved and can contribute and become volunteers as well. This is Mark and Max. So Mark is the guy and Max is the dog. They first came to us during COVID times, during COVID lockdowns, and Mark came along to get some dog food for Max. So we'd have not just human food, but also pet food as well. And we did lots and lots of emergency relief parcels during COVID lockdowns. And we remained open with the support of the local police and local council, doing things a little bit differently, with people sort of staying outside and social distancing, but we gave away thousands and thousands of food parcels, which was a real support to the community and showed the community that we're still there for them and still caring even during those times. So we have here Dean on, oh, sorry, gone too far. Let's see if I can go back there. Oh. There we go. Dean on the left, who's a long-term rough sleeper in Dandenong. So he's been sleeping rough for more than 10 years, and very much a part of our community. When he's around, sometimes when he's able to put things in place, he will head to somewhere in the country where he finds that life is a bit calmer and quieter, and he'll spend some time in the country and then come back to Dandenong. And then we have Carol. Now, I'm going to share a little bit more about Carol's story later. She actually has been coming along to Nourish Church. So Nourish Church is an evening service which is geared towards this community. It's geared towards homeless and marginalised people. It's the kind of service where someone can shout out something, a little bit strange or unusual, and no one bats an eyelid. Or, people can get up and wander out and then come back in, if they want to go and make a cup of coffee or something like that. And very interactive service. So there's a chance for people to answer some questions and to contribute with their thoughts, to ask questions, and a really sort of relaxed, informal service. So Carol has been coming along, and I'll share a little bit more about her story later. Sorry, this is a bit sensitive. This is Craig. Craig also has given me permission to share his story. Craig has Tourette's, so he often shouts inappropriate things. He swears quite a lot. He's got a bit of a nervous tic where he holds his hand up, so he can be a little bit threatening to people who don't know him. But really, he's like a little child. He's sort of like a 10-year-old in a lot of ways. Craig loves to be helpful. He loves to wash and to clean cars. So he comes along when we have the meal programs and he washes volunteers' cars. And he actually has started coming along to our morning service. And it's been so beautiful to see the way that our church have just welcomed him, even though he's quite inappropriate at times and sometimes, shouts out at the wrong moment. The way that he's just been welcomed and loved and cared for and included within our faith community has been really beautiful to see. So he's at church 6 days of the week. Sorry, there we go. Got a few slides ahead again. We have practical services as well. So we partner with other agencies. Again, this is through Cornerstone. We have One Voice shower truck, which comes along and provides showers in the truck or the van for homeless. And we also have the Orange Sky Laundry Service, which comes along twice a week, and they wash and dry people's clothes. Again, a service for the rough sleepers. That's the shower van there. We also have a Bolton Clark community health nurse for homeless who partners with us, and that means that she's on site at Cornerstone caring for the rough sleeping community with healthcare needs. So she's not our staff member, she's Bolton Clark's nurse for the homeless based with us, and she arranges for a vaccination van to come along and provide routine vaccines and things like that. So we find that healthcare is a real struggle for people from the homeless community. There's a lot of barriers to accessing healthcare. I could have the next slide, please. Thank you. So we do provide a lot of food parcels, as I mentioned before, as well as the meals that we provide throughout the week. We provide fresh fruit and vegetables and fresh bread, and also pantry food as well. So we have a donation which comes from the local market. That's actually our senior pastor there, Pastor David on the right-hand side, who is getting ready to drop off a beautiful big box of fruit and vegetables for one of the community members. Okay, and this is the team preparing and packaging up lots of those fruit and vegetables for food parcels. Okay, we have community projects as well. So we try and get people involved, not just in eating a meal, but actually involved in things that feel a little bit enriching and fulfilling for them. So we have the community garden. There's a beautiful garden with 9 raised garden beds, and you can see some of the members of our gardening club there with some of the food that's been harvested. We're really scrolling through very quickly there. Okay. The last slide I wanted to show you there just had a picture of the mural, which has been done by a lovely local artist. She is connected with our church, and she was an asylum seeker from Iran. And a wonderful artist. So she did the murals on the water tanks in the community garden, and a lot of the community members got involved and, you know, helped out with painting that. So it was a wonderful way for them to feel that they're very much a part of, you know, the longevity of the artwork, which is something that they get to enjoy in that garden space. So why do we do what we do? Really, it's because we want to share God's love. We want to share the love of Christ, and that is why we care for people in this practical way. So I'm going to be sharing a little bit more about that as I bring the message to you later. And I hope that you've got a bit of a picture of Cornerstone and also the Nourish Ministry from these photos. Thank you. Hello again, and thank you, Judy, for that beautiful reading. This morning, I would like to share a story with you. It's the story of one of our community members. You saw a photo of her earlier, and as I mentioned at the time, she has given me permission to share her story. So, each week at our church, we have a meal on a Thursday evening. And one particular Thursday, a couple of years ago, it was at the start of summertime, I think it was in November, this woman and her partner came along for the very first time. So she was new to Dandenong. I think she was actually new to Victoria. and they were sleeping in their car. Now, one of the windows in her car didn't roll up properly, so there were a couple of inches where the window was permanently stuck down. And this particular evening was day one of a very big storm. It was one of those first storms of summer, you know, the storms that go on for days. So there was a forecast of torrential rain for about 4 days, and it had already started. Now, this woman and her partner had all of their possessions, every belonging that they owned, in this car with the window down. And everything was wet. Everything that they owned was sopping wet. And they had no dry clothes to wear. And they were completely overwhelmed about how they were going to get through the next few days. They knew what was on the horizon, they knew what was coming, and they didn't know how they were going to get through it. Now, this couple are actually fairly proactive with trying to better their situation, trying to better their circumstances. And they had gone along to a local caravan park, and they had arranged to rent a little cabin. But it would be a few days until they got their next pension payment. I think it was maybe still a week away. And they couldn't afford the rent in advance and the bond until they got that pension payment. So they knew they were stuck in the car for another week unless something drastic happened. Now, that evening, myself and others from our team spent quite a bit of time talking with this woman. She was very distraught. She was really upset. We gave them a hot meal. We found a change of clothes for them. We found a few blankets for them. And I actually managed to get in touch with a manager at a local housing agency. Now, this housing agency, they're inundated. They take bookings for appointments, but it can take about 2 weeks for someone to get a booking for an appointment to see a housing agent. And then, of course, it's some time before anything happens from there. But I did manage to get in touch with the manager that afternoon on the phone. And when she heard the situation that I was describing to her, she actually arranged an emergency meeting the very next morning for this couple. So they went along to that meeting, and within 24 hours, their bond loan was paid. They had paid rent for a week in advance, and they were safe and warm and dry in their little cabin. Now, this woman started coming along to our meal programs quite regularly after that. Her partner didn't come, but she started coming along. And over time, she began to open up about how that was really strange to her that she's coming along to a church. She shared with me that she had been brought up in a very religious family. She was brought up in the foster system, and the family that she was in the care of for most of the time were quite religious. But the God that she was taught about was not the God that I know. She was taught about a God who is harsh, who is judgmental. And she felt that from the very first mistake that she made, not to mention the second mistake or fourth or tenth or hundredth mistake, from the very first mistake, she felt that God could not possibly still love her. So she kept coming along to our meal programs, and she kept chatting with me and chatting with others. And what she didn't know is that there are many people on our team who had noticed that beautiful spark that you see sometimes when you recognize that God is at work in someone's life. So we recognized that, and there were people from the team who had started praying for her, several people who were routinely praying for her, praying that God would not only provide for her physical needs, but would also reveal his love, would reveal his goodness, would help her to understand who he is. Now, one day, after a particularly difficult week, this woman asked one of our volunteers to pray for her. So she didn't know that he had already been praying for her for weeks and weeks, but she did know that there was comfort and there was solace an encouragement to be found in coming to God in prayer. So over the next few months, she started coming along to Nourish Church. That's the evening service that we run for people from the Meals community. She started asking lots of questions, and she started learning about God's love and God's care for her, and learning that God is so different to the judgmental being that she was taught about when she was younger. Now, her journey continues. We're not at the end of the story yet, and I keep praying that one day she'll be up the front at our church sharing her testimony as she's baptized. And I'm sure we'll see that one day. In this story, we've got a beautiful example of the way that God works in people's lives through his people, through his church, as we care for people in a practical way. So I'm sharing this story with you today to encourage you just how vital these missional ministries are, how important they are, and why they're important. So mission that we collectively as a church, collectively as God's people, are involved in, caring for our communities, caring for our neighbourhood. So today we're going to be exploring this passage from Isaiah in the context of our own communities. And I hope that you'll be encouraged and also perhaps a little bit challenged as we explore the way that God calls us to care for our neighbours. So the context for our passage today, and I do hope you've got your Bibles there and I hope you've got your Bibles open, the context for our passage is talking about what fasting isn't. So God was talking to his people through the prophet Isaiah about what fasting, true fasting, is not. So we get a sense that people had become caught up with the letter of the law. They were following the letter of the law in a bit of a legalistic way, in a transactional way. And they were kind of carrying out these instructions, but in doing so, they had missed the point. So through the prophet Isaiah, God instructed his people not to spend the day fasting, not to spend the day looking as though they were seeking him, asking God to hear and to answer their prayers, to end the day fighting and quarrelling and carrying on amongst themselves, behaving in a way that showed that they had not humbled themselves at all. So in our context, something that might look like that would be if we come along to church on a Sunday morning, and we're sort of going through the motions of, okay, we're here to worship, and yes, God, here we are, we're worshiping. But there's a disconnect between Sunday and the rest of the week, and the way that we live during the week doesn't really marry together with true worship. That's what this might look like in our context. If our interactions with God are kind of checking the box, just ticking off, this is what I should do, I know this is what I should do, that isn't actually pleasing worship to God. It's not, we're missing out on the depth of relationship that God calls us to. And instead of experiencing that relationship with God that transforms all of the interactions that we have during the week, we're just ticking off a box, check, went to church. So it's in the context of a sort of a lip service fasting, a lip service worship, that God speaks to his people through this passage, which is our passage today, and he talks about the kind of service that he actually desires from his people. So, if we begin to look at what are actually the needs in our own neighbourhood. So, in our passage today, the needs were food for the hungry, clothes for those who needed them, justice for those who were oppressed, and the need for God's goodness in people's lives. Now, if we look around our own neighbourhoods, my neighbourhood in Dandenong, your neighbourhood in Lilydale, we see exactly the same needs today. We see people who need food. We see people who need warm clothes. We see people who need justice. We see people who are oppressed and need God's freedom. We see people who are in need of God's love and God's goodness. So the needs in our neighbourhood today are exactly the same as the needs in the neighbourhood back when Isaiah wrote these words as a message to God's people all those years ago. So what does true fasting actually look like? So today I'm going to suggest that we serve God when we serve others. So the passage goes on to talk about the many, many ways that we can serve God and honour God as we serve the people around us. Jesus talked about this in the parable in Matthew's Gospel, and it was actually on one of the slides that I was trying to show earlier, but it skimmed through. In Matthew chapter 25, we have this beautiful passage. I'm reading from verse 34 to 40. If I could have the next slide, please, Tim. Thank you. Jesus said, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?' Then the king will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.'" It's a beautiful encouragement, isn't it, for this kind of work? So the question then is, how are we serving people already? So we've identified the needs in our neighbourhoods, very similar in Dandenong to the needs in Lilydale, similar to the needs that there were all those years ago when these words were written. So we'll just have a little look at how we're doing that, some of the ways that we're serving God as we serve others. So in my own context in Dandenong, caring for people in this way is pretty straightforward. We have people come along to our church, into the church building, who are hungry and they come for a meal. People who need clothes and they come and get a fresh pair of clothes. People who need some support accessing other services like the shower or the laundry. One of the challenges in this work is being open to seeing those who might be overlooked. But I'd encourage you to be looking around your own neighbourhood and seeing who are the people who are being overlooked. What are the needs that they have that are not being addressed? There's a challenge of motivating people to get involved. There's a challenge of encouraging people to be willing to serve. And then there's some challenges with the nitty-gritty of this kind of ministry. An example of that is that it's easy to care for people when people are really thankful. It's easy to care for people and to give them a meal and to, you know, encourage them when they're really grateful and they smile and they say thank you and we feel good and they feel good. But the reality is, we'll often get met with a hostile response. So how do we continue to care for people? How do we continue to show God's love when we're met with hostility? And I can assure you that's not a hypothetical question. That is something that we encounter every week in this kind of missional ministry. And it's a challenge. How do you maintain the right attitude? Now, God himself does not just extend grace and love to people who are grateful. He extends it to every single one of us at every stage. We read in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, "But God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." There's a nun, or there was, I should say, a nun at a monastery, a Carmelite monastery in the 18th century in France. Her name was Saint Thérèse of Lisieux. Now, this nun, in some ways, she was a very ordinary woman, but she kept a diary, a journal, and this journal was later published. She wrote beautifully, and it was a published work, which was a great encouragement for many, many people of faith. But the interesting thing is that this nun had, within the same monastery, within the same order, another sister who really annoyed her. Now, this woman, everything that she did was annoying for Saint Thérèse. The way that she spoke, the way that she walked, the way that she coughed, the way that she breathed. Everything about this woman annoyed her. Now, Saint Thérèse had a really interesting response to this. She went out of her way to treat this particular woman, this particular sister, as though she was her closest friend, her dearest and most beloved friend. I'm going to read you a little snippet from her diary. And sorry, Tim, I think we're a couple of slides ahead now. If you could just skip to the next quote. There we are. So this is from her diary. "As I did not want to give way to my natural dislike for her, I told myself that charity should not only be a matter of feeling, but also should show itself in deeds. So I set myself to do for this sister just what I would have done for someone I loved most dearly. Every time I met her, I prayed for her, and I offered God all her virtues and her merits. I was sure this would greatly delight Jesus, for every artist likes to have his works praised." In fact, Saint Thérèse did such a good job of treating this particular woman with great love and care that after she passed away, I think it was at her funeral, this woman reportedly said, "I was her dearest friend." Isn't that beautiful? Her dearest friend, because that's the way that she treated her. So we serve God when we serve others. Not only when it's convenient to us, not only when we feel good about it, but when God brings anyone across our path who needs his love. Not only those who it's easy to care for, but those who can be challenging. So my question to you today is, how can you serve? I want you to consider, how is God calling you to serve? How is he calling you to serve within your own context, within this neighbourhood? Maybe you have time that you can give. Maybe you can help with your church's practical ministries. Maybe there are other people who you encounter at work or on your street, one of your neighbours. Maybe at your child or grandchild's school. People who you come across day to day at the shops, at the local shopping centre that you visit to do your shopping. There will be people who you can identify that you know are the ones who God has placed in your life, and he's calling you to care for them in a practical way. It may not just be here at church. It might be in other settings in your life, but it becomes an attitude that we take with us wherever we go. Are you willing to stop and to talk to people, perhaps someone who you don't know, when God's Spirit prompts you to stop and to share something of his love with them? Maybe time is something that is a challenge for you, but you may have resources that you can give, resources that you can share to support others as they do this work. You might work full-time, or you might be involved in all kinds of activities and not have much time to spare. And you know that the things that you're involved with are good things, things that God has called you to be involved in. But God may have blessed you with resources that you can then share for this work, for this kind of practical ministry. We can all be praying. We can all pray for our neighbourhoods. We can all pray for the practical ministries and missions of our local church. We can all be praying for a neighbourhood that is hurting and that is in need of Jesus' love. Now, we've got an encouragement in our passage that God is with us in this work. The passage tells us God goes before us and behind us. So as well as having something of a call to action within our passage, we've got these beautiful promises. We've got promises that God will be with us, that he will strengthen us as we do this work, that he will cause us to become light in the darkness as we share his goodness with the people around us. If you just read with me from verse 8 to verse 11 of our passage, it says, "Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will appear quickly. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, 'Here I am.' If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like noonday. The Lord will guide you always." So we have a promise here that God delights in seeing his people care for their neighbours. And he will bless our efforts. He will bless our efforts. We will call for help and he will say, "Here I am. I am here with you as you care for your community." We are blessed with God's presence as we bless others. Isn't that a beautiful promise? It's a promise for each one of us. As well as this wonderful assurance that we have that God is with us in this work, there's also a picture of restoration for our neighbourhoods. If you read with me verse 12, it says, "Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings." Maybe not so much in Lilydale, but I know in Dandenong there are streets that you drive down and you can just almost audibly hear just the cries of pain and dysfunction coming from the houses on those streets. I don't know whether you have pockets of your own neighbourhood that feel like that, that you drive through, and you can just sense the incredible need for God's goodness in those parts of the neighbourhood. I'm going to share a picture with you now. There we are. Now, on the left there, we have a picture of a ruin. This is in Rome. And then on the right-hand side, we have an artist's impression of what that building would look like if it was restored, if it was lovingly restored to its former glory. And you can see, well, hopefully you can see the image clearly enough to see that there's beautiful gold in amongst the tiling. There's marble on the floors, there's marble on the columns. And this is what the building was originally like. And this is someone's imagining, an artist's imagining of what it would look like lovingly restored. And in some ways, within the last verse of our passage today, we have an encouragement from God to imagine our neighbourhoods lovingly restored by God. Lovingly restored to what he intended them to be. so that we can be called repairers of families, restorers of households, people who bring God's hope and God's love and God's transformation into our neighbourhoods. So I want to challenge you today, as I challenge myself, to picture your neighbourhood transformed by God's love, transformed by God's goodness and his grace. God calls us to partner with him. True fasting is a call to action. He calls us to be actively involved in this work. So I invite you to consider, what is God calling you to do in response to his dream of restoring your neighbourhood? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the encouragement that we have, that you are with us, that you go before us and behind us, that you surround us with your presence, that you fill our lives with all that we need and fill us to overflowing with your Spirit, that we can in turn share your goodness with all who we encounter. Lord, we pray that you would fill our hearts with a fresh vision, with your dreams for our city, with your dreams for our neighbourhoods, our communities. Lord, we ask that you would encourage us, strengthen us, and above all things, Lord, we thank you for the grace that we find through our Lord Jesus. Lord, help us to share your grace, your love, with all who we encounter. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.